This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back. 4 weeks until the NFL draft. Hugh, as the Eagles keep letting go of good players, I need to add a good player somewhere.
What you got?
We got the NFL draft. The Eagles, of course, own the 32nd pick in the NFL draft. Today, we're going to go to NFL.com, their latest mock drafts. Let's go through the top five, and then we'll jump to where the Eagles pick. All right, so number one overall, it's becoming, I wouldn't call it quite a consensus, but a lot of people believe it's going to be Cam Ward, the quarterback from Miami to the Tennessee Titans. Number two, Cleveland Browns select Abdul Carter, pass rusher for Penn State. Number three.
Ooh, that's a nice spot for him to land with
Abdul,
Miles.
Sure.
Yeah.
But who's their quarterback? Kenny Pickett?
I mean, they ain't going to have an offense.
Yeah. No, that would be a fun pass rush to do. You're right about that. Number three, the New York Giants select Shedeur Sanders.
Shedeur.
Out of Colorado. But by the way, the Giants signed Jameis over the weekend.
That should be fun.
Yeah. How many picks will he have against the Eagles next season in the game? Three? Four?
I thought he'd been delivered from pick sixes.
Oh, no, I'm saying because he didn't throw that many last year, did he?
He didn't have as many opportunities.
Well, yeah, I guess when you spin it that way.
Well, not really spin. I mean, the guy threw 30 touchdowns and 30 picks one year.
Yeah,
so.
30 for 30.
Yeah. I think he threw more than we even think. So last year he played – oh, no, guys. Last season, Jameis played 7 games. How many times he threw an interception?
8.
12.
Damn.
Fangio's defense.
No, he has not been delivered.
No, he has not. All right, number four, Patriots select Travis Hunter. What do you call him? You think he's going to play both in the NFL, both corner and wide receiver?
You know what, I know that they're calling for teams to allow him to play both.
I think it'd be cool.
Can he? But the workload, though.
He did it in college. He put 100 snaps a game.
It's a little different.
But he's shown he could play 100 snaps. At least.
What is he projected as in the NFL? DB, right?
It's like both. They put him in as a slash, wide receiver, cornerback.
Some teams think he's more, I was reading, some teams look at him more as a receiver. Some teams look at him more as a corner.
Doesn't it feel like he's probably going to excel a lot more at one thing?
And then
maybe mid at the other, then it feels like they're going to make him pick.
But isn't that valuable? Imagine if you get a Darius Slay kind of corner, and then you get a Dotson kind of receiver. That's still valuable on your roster.
But if he's he's AJ Brown type wide receiver and like a mid level corner,
is it worth it to keep
it's him? It's risky.
Sure.
Where are you going to start though? To play both sides of the ball in the NFL, I think that's a lot.
Of course.
And to be an impact player.
It almost never happens.
Yeah, to be an impact player. Because that means you never coming off the field. At first blush, I'm leaning more towards receiver than corner.
I think he's the most fascinating player in the draft. I mean, we just never see this in the modern NFL. So he goes four to the Patriots. 5, Mason Graham, defensive tackle to Jacksonville. All right, Hugh, let's make our way down to the Eagles, who we know have the 32nd pick in the 2025 NFL draft. But in this mock, they're trading up. The Eagles trade up with the Los Angeles Rams, move from 32 to 26. They surrender a third-round pick and one of their fifth-rounders. So they're trading a third and a fifth to move up 6 spots from 32 to 26 to select Walter Nolan, defensive tackle, out of Mississippi. I mean, we've heard this is a great defensive tackle draft. We've heard that this is part of the reason why they were comfortable letting Milton go, because they think they could replace him maybe night one of the NFL draft. That is a pretty hefty cost to move up 6 spots in the first round, to give a third and a fifth. Walter Nolan, Hugh, what do you think of the concept of trading up for a kid like Walter Nolan, D-tackle at Ole Miss?
6'3", 304. I tell you what, that's him and Jalen Carter together and working that rotation. That's a big dude in the middle, man. That is a really big dude in the middle.
So they also have to make a decision on Jordan Davis's future. I think this is the time that to figure out if they're going to pick up his fifth-year
option. That's what I was thinking. Like, what does that mean for Jordan?
I would guess they're not going to re-sign Jordan at any sort of significant price if they use a first-round pick on another defensive tackle.
But when I'm looking at his stats, what was this, from last year?
You're talking about Walter Nolan?
Yeah, yeah. It was like, yeah, six and a half sacks. He had one sack his first year, 6.5 sacks. Okay, I can see that a little bit because they want more of a pass rush presence in there. Big dude, two big tackles in the middle. You know who it kind of reminds me of? The year that when I went to Jacksonville, they had Marcus Stroud and was it James Henderson?
John Henderson.
John Henderson.
He's the one that used to get slapped.
They got after it, man. That would be – you talk about getting him in this defense and him bringing what he has to the table.
Yep.
That makes it a lot easier for those edge rushers. It does, to have those two guys in the middle, and they're big and they're stout against the run. I can see that. That now you bolstered your defense with another young Thundercat.
Mm-mm, here we go.
That with Coach Hurt out there, get him right. Man, you might – hey, that's – takes a lot of pressure off of everybody else. It takes more pressure off your already stellar secondary. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I he's a name I keep seeing mocked to the Eagles. I'm sure his name will come up again over the next 4 weeks or so as we go through our daily mocks.
Started
at 1 o'clock.
All games last year, too. All-American.
And I
first
noticed
team all SEC.
First year was one sack, next year four, the next year six
and
a half.
Yeah, he got progressively better. Yeah.
Well, he comes from the SEC, which means that's the extra little, like,
number one overall recruit nationally.
So he's always had the ability.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing that in a perfect world, those two guys, him and Jalen.
I've seen him mocked a lot around this spot. Maybe in this mock, they think they have to trade up to get him. So Walter Nolan, defensive tackle, Ole Miss.
Ooh,
our
that's
first
exciting. Just the, that,
daily
that
mock.
First, you hit it out the park with that first one, Joe.
Well, I like the trade up idea.
Yeah.
Well, plus we get to go home a little earlier that night if it's a trade up.
Oh, that's what you're thinking about.
Well,
thinking
I just yeah. I mean,
well, do you?
All about
I mean, what
Joe.
If they trade back into the first again?
Oh yeah.
I mean, you can't count on that.
I guess we're there the whole time.
Yeah, of course.
So
it
reminded me of when in 2018 the Eagles had the last pick, right? Because they won the Super Bowl, and we did the whole draft show. Only for them to trade out when they got on the clock at 32. We were there the whole night for nothing.
Yeah, you're not going anywhere, bud.
No, that was we were there the
at
whole time.
At least they feed us, though, so that's cool.
Well, that is good. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up at 1:30, we have something so shocking, I can't believe we were able to uncover. We have audio Hugh Douglas back in the day, something that I can't even properly explain it until we play it, but you need to stay tuned for this. It sheds new light on the man he was before he got to Philadelphia. Mark in Philly is up. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey,
what's
Mark.
Up, Mark.
What's going on?
I just want to talk about this Topper thing.
Yeah, what do you think?
A couple of weeks ago, I called you and said that I didn't think that these guys were going to ever be good enough hitters to win a World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And to make a long story short, I still think it's the same thing. It's not a new voice. It's new players we need. And I think it's we already talked about the analytics-based slugging style that I don't think is going to be effective. But there's also a mentality or culture that's deficient here. And I think that you have your leaders that exhibit it, because when you got Harper saying, oh, I just got a bad third, and Turner saying, oh, I can't play anything but shortstop, even though I stink at it. And Real Muto, oh, I got to play every day, even though every year it looks like I'm worn out by July. And Castellano saying, I'm just going to keep swinging. It's what I do. That's a mindset. It's not a championship mindset. And there's too many players focused on the individual agendas and not going all in for the team. So you just got to get rid of these players, at least two of them, Castellanos and Real Muto, after this year. They should be replaced. And we'll see what else they can do at the trade deadline. But you don't have the players you need to win championships here.
So, Mark, while I agree with some of what you're saying there, this team did get to the World Series 3 seasons ago. I mean, with most of these same guys. Obviously, Turner was not here then, but Castellanos was, Harper was. These guys were here. I mean, like, we've seen this before from this group. And the other thing is, it's a lot easier to switch the manager and get someone that they may listen to than switch all the players. That's much harder.
Well, I would say that's true. That's the easy way to go. But I think when you look at it, it's not the voice, it's the people. And that would be like a knee-jerk reaction, like throwing your hands up and saying, oh, we're stuck with these players. And I think that management is thinking, well, this might be a throwaway year because we're just going to have to wait until we can make some changes here because we got the pitching. I mean, they got close previously, but they didn't get over the hump because of the slugging style that they can't get away from. They just want to keep swinging because somebody told them that home runs offset strikeouts. So don't bother. Don't be so concerned about striking out because you might hit a home run. They can't get that out of their minds, and they're just not the guys that are going to get you over the hump. Because we have to have better contact hitters, guys that can move the runners, get a hit, and you know just play good old fashioned baseball.
Yeah, well, that's a roster construction thing more than as a manager thing. Mark, we appreciate the phone call. Two things off of Mark's call that I just thought of. One, if we did have that mentality, Kyle, 2 years ago, we never fired Girardi. Like, if we just say it's the player's fault, then the Girardi fire never happens. Topper never takes him to the World Series. Like, managers matter some.
Yeah, well, and at the very least, it might be a situation where things are just getting stale, and
yes,
they need some sort of spark.
Shake up the message.
Yeah, some sort of wake-up call, because I think Rob Thompson's a much better manager than Joe Girardi ever was while he was with Philly. This isn't a matter of fire Topper because he's not a good manager. This is a matter of, this is the only lever that I have left to pull. We can't shake the core up of the team.
And perhaps his message has gotten old. I mean, a lot of people have called today with some variation of they run the show, right? They don't want to bat here. They do this. Well, maybe because he's let them. I mean, sometimes when the substitute teacher takes over, you kind of bully the substitute teacher. It might work for a little bit, but at some point, like, he could try this with the lineup and maybe it'll work. But if it doesn't, I just wonder what he has left to do. Like, what buttons he's going to push to get them to play great baseball. I don't know. We're going to find out when the season starts in a couple days. But also the idea of this might be a throwaway season.
Nah.
They spent $300 million on this roster.
Can't be no throwaway.
It's the second highest active payroll in the league.
Also, and one more thing, because he said the pitching's good. They got to change up the hitters. Guys, Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola aren't going to be this good forever. They can't waste this.
Yeah, they're getting older.
Yeah, they are. Like, Zach Wheeler 2 years from now, I mean, I hope he's still pitching like a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but he might not. It might not be the same.
Right, he's in his mid-30s.
That's right, with irons.
Exactly.
I mean, if healthy, you could argue this is the best pitching rotation in all of baseball.
Right. But 2 years from now, they might not be anymore.
Right.
I mean, that stuff changes.
No, it's put up or shut up for the whole team right now.
And that's why heading into the season, I'm putting the manager on the hot seat. It feels like a lot of excuse-making today. Like, it's not all Topper's fault. I know that. I'd much rather get rid of the shortstop, but I can't get rid of him.
Yeah, it's a money thing. The problem lies with the guys that are making the most money. If you're gonna point the blame
sure.
at somebody, but you're not moving on from those guys, and I think that's obvious. I think it kind of shifted this offseason when there was a big talk about Alec Bohm not being here, and that did not happen the way that people thought it was. His name was being shopped around. And then they had to do a hard pivot. And they said, well, okay, we have to run it back. We have no choice. We're going to try to infuse some of these young guys as the season progresses. But if something doesn't shake, then somebody has to go. You can't run it back. Because the one thing that I think happened in the offseason, a lot of Philly fans thought that there were going to be changes. There weren't any. And now you have to appease the fan base to a certain extent.
We had Buster Olney on with us. I think it was like November-ish. We had a Phillies, all kind of hot stove kind of day on the show. And he told us he was almost certain they would add a star this offseason. And they didn't. Now, I mean, some people listening may say, hey, Jesus Luzardo has that kind of potential. All right, maybe. But I don't think that's what Buster meant when he said it. I think he meant a guy that everyone would agree is a star. They didn't. It was mostly a quiet offseason. Are you putting Rob Thompson on the hot seat to start the season? This is one of our closest polls in a long time. Hugh, 51% yes, 49% no.
That is crazy. I'm starting out the week pretty good.
What does that mean?
It means I'm right there. I'm right. I mean, I'm like a couple more votes. It can swing this my way.
I love the me guy, Douglas, here. This isn't all about you.
No,
this is about the Phillies.
It's like to be on the right side of history when it comes to things like that.
Who's writing this history?
I'm just saying.
The history of you, Douglas.
I didn't know we were so competitive, but I'm kind of leaning into it a little bit.
No, you made it competitive.
It competitive. No, that was Kyle.
This one you made competitive.
Mm-hmm. That was definitely you.
No, you're the one that started being like, oh, I'm winning.
No,
I'm losing.
You got all in. You got all tight about the bacon this morning, and the bacon.
I don't get tight about anything.
You got tight about the bacon.
Well, I was right.
Well, I mean, okay, fine. But it's basically the same. It's from the pig, though. When I asked you a specific question.
He never answered that.
He didn't answer the question.
Never answered what animal the bacon comes from.
Because he knew I had it. He didn't want to answer.
No, because the animal doesn't matter. There's different cuts of the pig.
No, I'm just saying. Where does bacon come from,
supposed to be the happy. The bacon comes from the belly. The ham comes from the leg. And back bacon comes from more the loin area. Okay, to answer your question, listen. You were the one trying to tell me that ham and Canadian bacon are the same thing. They're not.
Listen, okay,
different cuts.
See, I didn't mean we hashed this earlier argument. I was just pointing out.
Well, we're here now.
I've been trying to avoid cooking you on bacon and the logistics of pig meats for a while now. But
you
now
are the
I have to
guy.
Do it.
You are the bacon guy.
Yeah, you backed me into a corner. You're Hatfield Hugh, and I'm the one that knows all about the pig.
I just asked. A simple question. It still ain't got the answer.
Did I not just give you the answer?
Okay.
Now, what's your response to me giving you the answer? That you were wrong and I was right about pigs?
Okay, where does bacon come from?
I already told you the belly. Are you listening to anything I'm saying?
It comes from pigs, guys. Pigs.
I like how we get dug into our arguments.
I just don't understand what we're doing now.
Okay, fine. I'm sorry. I apologize.
You might need to brush up on your cuts.
Speaking of brush, let me go ahead and hit this.
It's not working, man.
Let me hit this spot real quick.
In fact, I'm seeing hair like flying off.
Oh, yeah, it's a wrap.
Losing more.
Oh, wait till it gets a little longer when it starts looking really like George Jefferson up in this piece.
What's the plan here? Like, so
no plan. No plan. No plan.
All right. I am putting your bald spot on the same hot seat as Topper. It's got a month.
The cul-de-sac's on the hot seat.
I'm going to, like, most of the times when I'm out in public, most people won't see it because I probably have a hat on. But, I'm just going to let it grow.
I'm giving your cul-de-sac and Topper till mid-May. And if I don't like what I'm seeing,
then we got to let it go.
Gone.
I'm going to see what it's going to do.
Who lasts longer, the cul-de-sac or Topper?
I actually think Topper will. I think Topper's got a better shot.
He was going to bail
him. Dug in with the cul-de-sac.
No, not for
you
long.
Wavered on it after a day.
No, listen, this morning I woke up and I was like, what are you doing? I was like, no, you got to hang in there. It might grow. It might grow.
To look yourself in the mirror.
No, I had to.
What are the odds after all these years you're the one that's going to solve balding?
No, listen. Because I've had some friends of mine, they told me to get these certain things.
All you got
to
do is brush it.
I got some African tea tree oil. I got some of that. And they say, wash it with the tea tree oil.
Is this holistic hue?
Well, they said this will help stimulate the hair growth. And then I have a friend of mine that's from Atlanta. She's sending me this growth oil where it has documented pictures of people that had like big old bald spots. And they grew back. So I'm going to get some of that.
I wish you the best. I much like Taiwan Walker, I'll believe it when I see it. Alex is in Bristol. What's up, Alex?
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, Alex. What's up?
All right. So about the Phillies, I'm just getting annoyed with the negativity here. These guys have the best pitcher in baseball, and you got all these callers saying they're going backwards and not going to make the playoffs. And it's ridiculous.
Well, Alex, I don't think that's a ridiculous thought. I don't think they're a lock for the playoffs. I think they'll make it, but I don't think it's like, no doubt about it. Like, the Dodgers are a lock for the playoffs. The Phillies are not.
All right.
The team with the best pitcher in baseball.
Well, hold on. The Dodgers have the best pitching. The Phillies pitching staff is very good. They don't have the best pitching in baseball.
Arguably.
It's there, but it's not like turnkey, like no doubt about it. It's good. It's a good pitching staff.
The Dodgers picked up Blake Snell, and I forget who else they got. But I think you can make an argument that the Phillies are, the best. And usually the team that has the best pitching is picked to win their division. So I don't understand how this is, the Phillies are not being picked to win the division. Which would obviously
they're not the favorite. I mean, the Braves got better and
they got healthy.
Yeah,
they got healthy,
and that'll make them better. And the Mets got better, Alex. I mean, I they're not even the favorite to win their own division.
Yeah, not in. I think they are the best team in the division,
can think that. Yeah, right. They'll go to prove it. But like, what do you want people to say, Alex? They played 500 baseball from the middle of the season to the end last year and got knocked out in four games. Like, what do you want people to say?
I don't want them to say that said that they were going to start winning 80 games and going backwards. I don't want to go back to the 11 or 12 years of losing.
I don't either. I mean, no one does. I mean, and I think they'll be better than that. But my point is, if they don't play well, the manager should be on the hot seat. They should be better than that.
I'll go along with the manager on the hot seat, but I won't go along with not making the playoffs. That's
yeah, Alex, I don't think it's a laughable thing. By the way, they had the 11th best ERA in baseball last year. They have a very good pitching staff. It's not like turnkey the best, no doubt about it.
Okay.
And we'll see. Maybe they'll be better than that.
Is it?
He's not really interested in fighting with
you. That's fine. All right, I can say what I want. You say what you want. That's fine.
say what you want.
Stats don't matter. Facts don't matter. Mm-hmm. I do think their pitching staff should be very good. Wheeler Hughes should be great again.
Yeah, that's what they're banking on.
Nola is very, like, you kind of know what he is, very consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Sanchez looks like he's about to level up and take a huge leap to maybe Cy Young caliber status. I'm not sure about the last two spots in the rotation. I mean, we already have Ranger on the injury list, which means we got to get Taiwan in here, which nobody but Hugh is excited about. And then
I'm optimistic, more optimistic.
I think Luzardo is maybe the most interesting guy, because 2 years ago, Hugh, in Miami, he was a really good pitcher. Then last year, he hurt his back, wasn't very good. Spring training has been up and down. If they get the Luzardo of 2 years ago, then that is a great rotation.
Yeah, just looking for his bounce back year.
Yep.
I mean, because I remember we were talking about that. We were talking to somebody about what you saw from him.
It might have been T-Mac or Greg Murphy.
I think it was Greg. Yeah. I think it was Greg. And you were talking about how he pitched the last couple of years before he got hurt. So, yeah, hopefully. They're optimistic about their pitching staff.
And they should be. Now, I think the bullpen is more of a question, but the starting pitching should be very good. There's no doubt about that. They need more elements, though, than just starting pitching. The offense has got to be good. It's got to be a top 5 to 7 offense in baseball. And hopefully the bullpen as well. And that's why I'm putting this on Topper. Like, Topper's got enough to work with here that they should be a good team. If they struggle, I'm putting them on the hot seat. Like, we can't just wait around for 2 months for this team to wake up. 215-592-9494. All right, when we come back, we got a lot to do here. We'll take your phone calls on all this with Topper and the Phillies. And, of course, Dallas Goedert, would you be upset if the Eagles outright cut him, which feels like it could happen here? Plus, an update on the bracket of Hughes, what the odds look like for some of these teams, some of these Hugh Douglas personalities as we move through the regions here. And you have to hear this audio next. We were able to track down of Hugh Douglas before he was on WIP. It is absolutely wild. We're going to play that next. It's something we've referenced on the show before, but we never really had like the evidence of it. We were able to track this down. Incredible investigation work to track this down. We have the audio. You're going to hear a version of Hugh Douglas you've never heard before. That's next. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.